Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our risen and living Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We conclude this morning our study of the book of Colossians with chapter 4, verses 7 to 18, in which we hear about many of those very saints that we were just singing about. Colossians 4, 7 to 18. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I've sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him Onesimus, who our faithful and beloved brother who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instruction, if he comes to you, welcome him, and Jesus, who is called Justice. These are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers in Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hands. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. So far our text. Sanctify us by your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth. Amen. I have personally always enjoyed, really loved learning about history. I mean, after all, it's stories. It's stories of men and women that went through difficulties and loss. It's mysteries and adventure and triumph. Who doesn't love a good story? And history is full of stories. Stories more complicated and thrilling than anything a fiction writer has ever thought up. And yet, I remember sleeping through my share of history classes. As exciting and wonderful as history is, a lot of times history class can be not as much fun. I think part of the reason is because a history teacher has to get through so much material and so much time, and in an attempt to get through it all, it sometimes, especially in high school classes, becomes a list of names, a list of dates, a list of events that you have to memorize. It can easily turn into a list of faceless people. There can be a temptation to treat our text this morning the same way, to skim over it quickly and view these names here as though they were simply a list of faceless people that have nothing really to do with us. But the truth is, these are anything but faceless people. These are men who strived and fought earnestly side by side with Paul for the preaching of the gospel, who along with Paul went through shipwreck and hunger, who are thrown in prison, who are stoned, who are beaten, who are driven from city to city, and all for the sake of preaching the gospel of Christ. It was through these men here in our text this morning that God established and created the church, and it is through them that we now have the wonderful and precious gift of God's word. Paul delights and rejoices in the ministry of reconciliation, the preaching of Christ crucified and the announcement of the forgiveness of sins through him. And because he delights in that ministry, he delights and rejoices in these men whom God has called and strengthened and sent out for that ministry. Remember what Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, verse 16 to 18? The former preached Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. But what of that? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yes, and will continue to rejoice. The heart and soul of Paul's life and the goal was to preach Christ, and he rejoiced in those who struggled with him in that ministry. And so he cannot help but to write about them, to praise them, and to encourage them in the work that they are doing. And yes, not only Paul, but the Holy Spirit, who is writing through Paul, puts these names down, written in God's Word for all eternity, praising them for their dedication and the work that they did for Christ, so that they might, so many years later, be an encouragement and an example to us, so that we might appreciate, like Paul does, the ministry of the gospel and the men and women who struggle for our sakes in the preaching of that word. So one reason that they are here is to encourage them and us to rejoice in that ministry. Another reason that Paul goes to the effort of listing these men by name is to send his greeting to them and from them to the church as a reminder to the people in Colossae that they are not alone. The church in Colossae was not a very big church at this time, and it might have been tempting, it might have been easy for them to think, well, here we are struggling all by ourselves, just this small group. But Paul says, no. He says, look how many struggle with you in every corner of the world. We so often have a tendency to feel isolated and alone. We can feel isolated and alone as individuals, stuck at home, forgetting the wider Christian community that we have through Christ and the family that is ours through Christ. It's one of the reasons why we have Bible class and other activities, because it's an opportunity to come together and to discuss our problems and our difficulties and to encourage one another. Being in church, of course, is an encouragement to one another but coming to Bible class and some of these other activities, you can talk to people directly. We can often feel isolated and alone, not only as individuals, but as a congregation, just focused on what we have here and what's going on here in Markazan, and looking at maybe the dwindling numbers of our church and the other difficulties, and feeling a little depressed or despair, forgetting, again, the wider community and the wider brethren that are ours in the synod. And sometimes we can feel alone or isolated, even as a synod, forgetting the brothers and the work that is going on overseas. And that was really one of the delights of my ministry as a missionary overseas, was to be able to go over there and to encourage them with news and greetings from here in America, and then to come back here and encourage you all with the news of what's going on and the marvelous things that the Lord is doing over there. And many of our brothers over there are really very, the work that they're doing and what the Lord is doing through them is very encouraging. And I've told you before, I'll tell you again now, I'll probably tell you, you know, stories later. One man in particular is Yumba from Congo in Africa. He was really the energizer bunny of the Lord's work in Africa. The guy just never stops. Go, 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 go is his motto. You know, a lot of the times when I was overseas, of course, people would come up to me and they want to build schools, want to build churches, which is great. They wanted the mission board's help when they were asking me for it, which is great, but unfortunately we have limited resources, and I often had to tell them, no, we can't do that right now. And Yumba would come up to me with all these great plans. He wanted to do this and this and that and the other thing, and very often I'd have to tell him no, and his response was the same every time. He says, well, okay, we'll do it ourselves then. And sometimes he would ask me for something, and I would go back to the mission board, and the mission board would say yes, and I would come the next year with the money, and Yumba would have already done it. You can't stop the guy. His dedication to the Lord is very inspiring and encouraging, as well as Ibrahim and Kasi and so many others who labor diligently and through whom the Lord is bringing many into his church. They are an encouragement to us and a reminder that we are not alone in the Lord when we feel like the fight might be lost. And so are these men that Paul talks about here. He sends his greetings from them and to them to encourage them and the brothers there in Colossae. So who are these men who labor with Paul and the Lord? We don't have time to go through each and every name. I would probably end up with as that history class I was telling you about, just being a list of names again, but we can at least take time to appreciate a few of them. And there are two names in particular that should jump out of the page when you read them, the names Mark and Luke. The same two who wrote the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. Mark's full name is John Mark. It's the same name as my dad. Easy for me to remember. And Mark's cousin, we're told here, was Barnabas. Mark and Barnabas were companions of Paul from the very beginning. Mark and Barnabas were there with Paul on the first missionary journey. And in fact, Mark goes back even further. Mark was a companion of the apostles and a part of the church from the very beginning. The early church, right after the resurrection of Jesus, met for worship in Mark's mother's house. And many people think that it was Mark's mother's house where the upper room was, where Jesus had the Last Supper. And there's good reason to believe that Mark himself was with the apostles in the Garden of Gethsemane that night before Jesus was betrayed. And it, in fact, was Mark, very likely, who, we are told, left his garment and fled naked when the soldiers captured Jesus. Mark was there from the very beginning, instrumental in the foundation of the church at Jerusalem, which is the foundation for the entire church, and traveling with Paul. And it's true that, you know, after Paul's first missionary journey, Paul was a little disappointed in Mark. And there was some kind of a division among them because Mark left Paul at one point in that first missionary journey. But yet again, here he is now again, journeying with Paul, laboring for Christ and for the preaching of the gospel. And Luke, a physician, the writer of the Gospel of Luke, but not the Gospel of Luke only, but also the book of Acts, which tells us so much about what Paul and his companions went through. Did you notice that Luke is not a Hebrew? He is not a Jew. He is a Gentile. He is not of the circumcision, according to our text here, which makes him the only Gentile to write any book of the New Testament, and probably the only Gentile to write any book
of the whole Scriptures.
He joined Paul at Troas, which is perhaps where he is from, which is perhaps where he heard the Word of God and became a believer, and journeyed with him from there. And it's no wonder then that he is the one who wrote the book of Acts to tell us the marvelous and wonderful news about how the Word of God spread from Jerusalem to his own people and to himself, and rejoices in that. Verse 9, Onesimus. Onesimus was a slave who ran away from his master and heard and found Paul, supposedly in Rome, preaching God's word, became a Christian, and now, at this point in time, is on his way back to the master he ran away with, ran away from. What great faith, what great courage in the Lord to return to a life of slavery, to return to an unknown and possibly very severe punishment, because that is what the word of the Lord told him he needed to do. To go trusting that the Lord would take care of him. And one more, Epaphras. Epaphras, who was most likely the pastor of the congregation, whom Paul mentions here as a fellow servant of Christ, who labored diligently for the people of Colossae, and Paul takes special note of his great love for the people of Colossae and how he was working and laboring for them even when he was there in Rome with Paul, praying for them always, because Paul wants the people of Colossae to appreciate what they have in Epaphras, a faithful minister preaching Christ's word to them. The problem in Colossae was that there were false teachers who had come and were trying to lure the people away, and many people were tempted to leave what they had in Epaphras, a faithful and good minister, and follow these false teachers. And Paul therefore encourages them. He says, look at the love and the dedication and the work which Epaphras does for you. Do not forsake that wonderful gift you have from the Lord, that faithful minister. I wish we had time to speak about all of these individuals, but let these few serve as an example and as an encouragement to us. Perhaps an encouragement to our young people to consider the ministry as a wonderful and joyful opportunity to serve the Lord. There is, of course, a lot of hardships and a lot of difficulties often in the ministry. But there's this blessing, the blessing we see here, the blessing of preaching Christ, the blessing of the Lord's praise for the work that these men had done. Everyone here know Miley Cyrus? Well, those of you who do probably know she's done some rather grotesque things. And in an interview once, she was talking about how she feels she has to be more and more extreme. More and more extreme in her dress and her haircut and her music and her videos. Because otherwise the media and the public don't pay attention to her. And so you see the futileness of chasing the praise and the glory of men, which even if you get it for a moment is quickly gone as they move on to the new best thing. Compare that to the praise of God that we see here for those who faithfully serve in the work of his kingdom. It is only a single short word of praise, and yet it's a word of praise from the Holy Spirit, written in Scripture, put down for all eternity, reminding us it is far better to work for the praise of God than for the praise of men. The public ministry, whether as teachers or as pastors, is not an easy thing, but it is well worth it in order to share in the service and the joy of the kingdom. And I pray that some young men and women might be encouraged by the example of these men to to take up that ministry, but that all of us might be encouraged by what Paul says here, to rejoice in what we have in the Word of God and in the public teaching and preaching that Word, and also to be encouraged in the work that we have as before us as a congregation, that the struggles we're going through and the difficulties as we face are not new or unique to us, but are shared throughout all time and throughout all the world. And with the knowledge that the Lord will bless and praise that work which is done for him in the preaching of the gospel. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.